Greetings to each one this morning. In Christ's name, it's a joy to be here with you all this morning, to be here in your midst and worship and praise the Lord together, and to have our hearts stirred and moved by the Spirit of God. Let's open our Bibles together to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 this morning. This is a passage here that shows the end of all things. It's a very sobering passage and a very good passage to have our hearts stirred by and to have God's Spirit move in us. And this passage shows the end of all things. So let's begin here in chapter 20 in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we look to you, Father. Give us grace this hour. Lord, would you touch our hearts? Would you search us? Help us to see what you have for us in this passage. God, I pray for freedom for me to be able to speak clearly and with authority and liberty your word, O Father. Bless this gathering. God, I pray for conviction upon the sinner. Lord, you're stirring in every heart. Help us to see your truths in a very clear way today. Bless us. Me with us. Give me your anointing as I speak, we pray. In Jesus' name. So here John sees a great white throne, a massive, massive throne. And the one on the throne is so glorious, so mighty, so awesome, so great, that heaven and earth just vanished, disappeared. No place found anymore for heaven or for earth because of the one, the great one, upon this great, massive white throne. Then it goes on to say that he then sees the dead, all the dead of all the ages, come and stand before this great, massive white throne and this glorious person upon the throne. And each one faces judgment. The one upon the throne judges every single dead mortal standing before it. The books are opened up. And each person comes and faces judgment of the one upon this massive, great, white throne. Then it says that the sea then cast up all the dead that were drowned in the sea. And then death and hell turn loose all of their dead. And they come here before this great, massive, glorious, white throne and face judgment. What an awesome picture. What a terrible scene. What a glorious moment for the righteous, though. Amen. But yet, a day of fear and dread and awe. And then it says, verse 15, very amazing verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was taken and just cast into the lake of fire. And there's the end of the wicked. This passage here is filled with awe and wonder and dreadful majesty. It brings us face to face with the Almighty Holy God and the great day of judgment for all mankind and the terrible, terrible fate of the wicked. In short, this passage takes us out of the realm of time and takes us into the realm of boundless, limitless, infinite eternity. And you know, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The brink of eternity is truly an awesome place to stand. To gaze into the wide and endless expanse of eternity is profoundly moving to the soul, is it not? And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to go right up to the brink of eternity, right to the very, very edge. Stand there and look out and gaze in awe and wonder at eternity. That's very moving to our hearts. You know, so many things come right in life with our priorities, our values, our emphasis, the things that matter to us as you travel outside of time up to the edge of eternity and just gaze and wonder and look at what really matters then. That's a very good thing for your heart and for your soul. And so this morning, I want to speak to us about eternity. Just a one-word title, eternity. And this past week with the Hostetlers, you know, how very moving, how very shocking for Jonathan, you know, one night out of the blue, he finds himself laying on the ground with a bullet torn through his neck and beside his dead wife. You know, how very shocking. But eternity is real. It's coming. And it's good for us to have quiet moments just to ponder that reality. Amen? Satan is working very hard trying to keep us from thinking much of eternity. He's trying his best to keep us right here in this life, right in the temporal, right here in the here and now, busy with work, busy with that, busy with all these things, keeping you so occupied you have no time to think much of eternity. Our whole society, in fact, militates much against thinking of eternity. There's so many amusements, so much fun to have, so much play to do, so much recreation, pleasures, all the flashing lights of our society and world, all the fun and the toys and the gadgets and the thrills and the money and the fame, all these things militate against the people of God having much thought for eternity. And that's the devil's hope and plan, is to keep you right here, so absorbed you have no thought for the coming eternity. This morning, I want to call us. I want to urge us. I want to implore us to push all these things aside and have some quiet moments to just ponder and consider eternity. Go right up to the very edge with me and God's Spirit and just gaze. Consider. How is it going to be after you die? What's going to matter then? What's really important in life? And just to have that move our hearts by the Spirit of God. This morning, my desire is that we would all have sober, quiet hearts together. It's my desire that the youth, us youth this morning, in the prime of our life, in the strength of your youth, with all the vigor and energy you have, to in those moments, be quiet. Look to your end. See what really matters in life. What should you be pursuing and going after? And this, In the prime of your life, it's good for us youth to think about how brief our life really is in coming eternity. Also, it's my desire to warn the wicked this morning, to warn those who are unconverted, to warn those who have hard hearts of coming realities in eternity. And so that's the desire I have. And for those who are lukewarm, to have a fresh stirring in your hearts to gather with us all. Psalms 90, verse 12 says it very good. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And something amazing happens in your heart as you begin to number your days. Amen? As you begin to realize, you know what? I'm 26 today and 70 years, yeah. I'm getting closer. My life is moving along very fast. And what's really important? And as you begin to number your days, and you see how brief your stay here on earth is, you're going to see, oh, this is just frivolous. This is just empty and vain. And you begin to apply your heart unto wisdom. And as you begin to think about how brief your life is, You're entering into the pathway of wisdom. And that's a good thing to do. So it's my desire is that we be stirred in the pathway of wisdom by looking at the brevity of our lives. So, number one, I want to look at the fact of eternity. The fact of eternity. There are many facts and laws in place in the world. You know, the law of gravity, it's a fact. You know, as I get my quarter here in my pocket, hold it out here, this is a law, this is a fact. This thing here will hit the ground, it's in a few seconds. And there's many, many, many kinds of laws and facts in our lives. There's the law of gravity we just seen. There's the law of thermodynamics. There's the law of physics. And the law of mathematics. And 2 + 2 always equals what? 4. It never equals 5. It's a law. It's a fact in place. You know, these are indisputable, unalterable facts that we have all around us. But you know, eternity is the very same way. It's a law, it's a fact in place that you cannot change, you cannot bypass, you cannot turn it around. It's there in place. And it stands before us as a monarch, and it demands obedience, and you will come, and you will submit to the fact and the law of eternity. None can bypass it. None can turn it away. None can stay its hand. It will reign and rule over all. Eternity stands before us like a monarch, and it demands obedience. Amen? This is a fact in place. And God Almighty has created each one of us with a never-dying soul that you possess. And your soul will live on forever and ever somewhere. It's a law and a fact that you cannot change and you cannot alter. No one can bypass His control. Long ages after your body has been turned back to dry, powdery dust, your spirit and soul will live on forever and ever, each one of us. After you die, you will live on forever and ever. And I believe that we all have an innate sense of this fact deep, deep inside our hearts. I believe that God Almighty has created us with eternity, that awareness, in our hearts. I believe every person, be it the animist in Africa, dancing around his idol and his altar there, you know, chanting his thing to his spirits or his God, that animist deep inside knows that I will live on forever and ever and ever. God has put eternity in the heart of man. And I believe that, you know, as he tries to push it out with work and to smother that awareness by pleasures and all these things, yet deep inside, he cannot quench that light or knowledge. It's deep in the heart. And I believe every dying atheist, I believe, knows as he draws his last breath and as he is grasping to hang on to life, he knows, I am dying, but yet I will live on forever and ever somewhere. I believe that Dr. Dawkins, the great famous scoffing atheist, when he died, he knew this is not the end. This is only the beginning. He gave lectures and had all kinds of big meetings and laughed and scoffed at God, mocked him, yet he knew I'm going to face him very, very soon. And he did. He did. The fact of eternity is seen clearly in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, is it not? Lazarus, he died. But guess what? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom for to ever be in the bliss of heavens. But then the rich man also, what happened to him? He also died. But yet, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Clearly, mankind, each one, possesses a never, never dying soul. Eternity is also seen in eternal hellfire. This is very sobering. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. There you see, mankind, though he's a sinner, he will live on forever and ever somewhere. Let this fact be clear to all of us, that we will live on forever and ever. Eternity is awaiting each one of us. And someday we will be experiencing it. When you take your last breath, we then step into the realm of the eternal forever and ever and ever. This life and all that you did and all that you loved and all that you pursued will forever be behind you. And you can never come back into this time, into this life. It's forever behind you. And you will then be experiencing eternity. Someday, me and you and us all will have to have a gravestone to remind the world that you ever existed. Isn't that an awesome thought to consider? That someday you will have to have a gravestone to let all the rest of humanity know that you ever existed. All your achievements, all your accomplishments, all your money and fame that you have right now will forever be behind you. You will have to have a gravestone to tell the world that you ever existed and walked the globe. Now, these things make us more sober and serious. May God help us. You know, the question is what will matter then? What will matter at that point? So, the next point I have is I want to look at the length of eternity. We saw the fact of eternity, and now let's look at the length of eternity. The question is how long is eternity? How long is it? You know, in life, we're used to things having a beginning and things having an ending. You know, we begin our day, maybe at 5 in the morning. Then we end our day back in the same bed again, right? You know, we begin our career at 18 or ever how old you are. And then after 30 years or so, you retire, as our society does. And then you end your career. And so everything we know has a beginning and has an ending. So this morning, we have a service beginning at 9:30. But it'll end here directly. And though and everything in life is that way, but when you come to eternity, that all changes. It has no beginning, nor does it have any ending. It's endless, boundless expanse in both directions, going on and on. Timeless, boundless, limitless, infinite. Eternity knows no restrictions. It has no stopping point. It never runs out. It's never used up. It keeps going forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you die, you enter this boundless space. And so it's hard to grasp, you know, endless, forever and ever and ever. It's hard to grasp that. But just think with me a little bit this morning of the speed of light. The speed of light. The speed of light. Now get this here. The speed of light. Light travels at 616,629 miles per hour. That's fast. That there is moving. I mean, that is, unbelievable speed. At that speed, get this here, at that speed of 670 million miles an hour, you would circle the globe 1, 2, 3, 4, total of 6.5 times in 1 second. Tick. 7.5 times in that time you would circle the globe. 7.5 times in 1 second at the speed of light. And so that's unreal speed. But now if you could travel that speed into eternity for a whole day, you would only be beginning. In fact, if you would go that speed for 100 years, that would just be beginning to enter into eternity. Eternity is limitless, boundless space. And so it's hard to grasp that reality. But light would only be beginning if you could travel for 100 years, 10,000 years. You'd only be beginning to enter into eternity. Or think with me a different illustration. If you were to get 1 mile of Florida beach, 1 mile of beachfront, and a bird would come each year and take one drop of sand each year, that sand, and go off. Drop it there. Come back again next year. One grain of sand. How many years of time to that beach, 1 mile, is all empty of sand? It takes an unreal amount of time. But double that, 2 miles, or 10 miles, or even 100 miles. Or think of me, of all of Florida's beaches, or get all the beaches in all the world, how long would it take to have all the sand emptied out? It would take this unreal amount of time. But the point is, eternity is way, way, way beyond that. Eternity is limitless and boundless, boundless space and boundless time. It's a very poor picture, but I hope you can get an idea of how massive eternity really is. And someday, you will be in this boundless, boundless space of eternity. The third point I have is the sobriety of eternity. And this is the heart of my burden this morning. As Hebrews 9:27 tells us, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, it's the judgment. It's appointed unto us all to die, but after this, it's the judgment. And this is the very reason why eternity is so sobering, is because that judgment awaits all in eternity. All will be there. Every single person. Donald Trump will be there on Judgment Day. Adolf Hitler will be there on Judgment Day. Every single person, the small and the great, will all be there on Judgment Day. And this is going to be an awful, dreadful, fearful day for everyone who dies in their sin, will come to God on that great day of judgment. It's going to be an awful, awful day. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." This is going to be a great and dreadful day for us all on the day of judgment. But think with me of the unconverted, how it will be for them on the day of judgment. Think of those who have hard hearts and how it will be for them on the great judgment day. Think of those who die in their sin and how it will be for them on judgment day. Think of those who are hiding sin. And if that's you this morning, if you're one who's here who's hiding sin, I want to warn you, it's going to be an awful, awful, dreadful day. Think of those who are living in disobedience to God's laws and precepts, how it will be for them on the great judgment day. How will it be for those who are lukewarm on the great judgment day? How will it be for those who love the world and who are friends of the world? How will it be for them on the great judgment day? Excuse me there. These all will face the wrath of Almighty God, and it's going to be an awful, dreadful day for them. It will be. I want to warn us, let's not play games with judgment day. Don't play games with your soul, my friend. Let's just bow for prayer for a moment here. I'm having a hard time. Father, I pray that you'd give me liberty, give me grace, help me to speak your word as I ought to speak. May I not fear man. Give me anointing and freshness as I open the word to your people. I pray for inspiration and freedom, O Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. But I want to tell us this morning that many will be horribly surprised on the great day of judgment. When they come before the thrice holy God of all the ages and stand there, I think many, many, many people will be horribly surprised at what happens to them as they stand there before God Almighty. In Matthew 7, Christ warns us of those who will come and say, "Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I had this right in my life." Christ says that many will say, "Lord, Lord," but he will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting torment." Now I want to warn us. May the Spirit of God grip our hearts. If we have not done business with the Lord, if we have not cleared our hearts or consciences, we have reason to fear and tremble because judgment day is coming. And after you take your last breath, you will step into eternal realms. And you will stand there before God Almighty and face a horrible, horrible moment of His piercing eyes of fire looking into your soul and telling you, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." That's an awful thing. And may God grip your heart this morning. God will not overlook your sin on that day. He will not. God hates sin and He will not let any sin go unpunished. It says in the Bible that He will by no means clear the guilty. And if you come there in your sin, God will not overlook your sin. God will not let one unconfessed sin that you harbored in your heart go unnoticed. He will punish everyone who dies in a sinful state. And that's a fearful thing. That's an awesome thing. And may God grip our hearts. And my statement to you, my friend, is what will happen to you then? Because you will be there. You will stand there before God. What will happen to you at that moment, at that day? How will it be for you? Is your heart clear today? Is your heart free from all sin? Have you opened it up and confessed and forsaken your sin? Or is it still guilt? Is it still condemnation? Are you still holding back on the Lord? I want to warn you, do not hold back on God. The day of judgment is coming. Hebrews 10:31 tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And my second point here on the sobriety of eternity is how you enter is how you remain. How you enter is how you remain. There is no changing anything once you've entered into eternity. Everything then is final. As the tree falls, there shall it lie. And as you take your last breath, the state of your soul then is forever, ever fixed. The state and condition of your soul in death will be how you remain throughout all eternity. You know, and that's the blessed thing if your heart is free, you know. If your heart is right with the Lord and you enter into eternity, that's the blessed thing because then the battle is all over. No more temptations, no more struggles, no more warring. It's forever settled and you're in peace with the Lord. Those that die in the Lord are blessed. It's a wonderful thing. But if you die in an ungodly, unsurrendered state, that state and condition is forever fixed. No changing anything. No chance to go back and apologize and bow your knees and confess your sins to the Lord. It's forever behind you. No more chance for anything of that nature. How you are with God when you draw your last breath fixes your eternal destiny. It's forever, forever fixed. You know, if you die in a very lukewarm state, I want to warn you, if you die in a lukewarm state, that's no thing to play games with. That's no little matter. That's no matter to die holding back on the Lord. It's no small thing to die in unrepentance. It's no small matter to die with a hard heart that's never surrendered to the Lord Jesus. The gift of repentance is only given in this life. After you die, it is forever, forever too late. Many foolishly put off the day of grace too long. And they hold out on the Lord and say, well, next time. I will confess my sins next time. I'll respond to the altar call next time. And they hold out. And they hold out until it is too late. Don't play game, my friend. Don't play game with your eternal soul. Make your calling and election sure. Do business with God today and clear your heart thoroughly of your sins and yield your spirit. Bow your knee and give your all to the Lord Jesus. Don't hold on too long. Make your calling and election sure. And so I want to ask you, how will your soul's condition be when you draw your last breath? How will it be with your soul then? The most important thing in life, my friends, is to die well. You can achieve, you can be educated and ever so smart and know all the answers. You can know your theology as the back of your hand. Be well versed in the scriptures. You can make all your money and achieve and be a successful person in this life. But if you die in your sins, it's worthless. You've cheated your soul of the most blessed thing that you could have. And so the most important thing is to die well and to enter eternity with peace. Third thing is I want to look at is eternity contains eternal damnation of the wicked. Eternal damnation is indeed a very terrible subject. No one likes to hear about it. No one much wants to speak about eternal damnation. But you know, Jesus often spoke about hellfire. He did. Indeed, He did. He often spoke about it. In Mark 9:48, Christ said, "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In Matthew 22:13, Christ Himself spoke about outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. As already mentioned, Revelation 14:11 says, "And the smoke," this is eternal damnation, my friends, "and the smoke of their torments ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night." What a horrible thing. In this picture with me, eternal damnation or eternal hellfire. Just ponder for a little bit here. A place of outer darkness. Now, I've been in caves where it was so dark that you could just put your hand right in front of your face and pass by. You'd never know that your hand was there. It was so pitch dark. Or think of like Egypt, where they had darkness that was so dense, you could almost sense it or you could almost feel it. It was so pitch black dark. And here, Christ says, a place of outer darkness. Utter darkness, no shimmer of light, no ray of light, nowhere around. It's just pitch black darkness. Also picture a bottomless pit where you fall on and on, and you just keep falling downward. There's no stopping point. You just keep going further and further and further down into the bottomless pit. Think of me of a burning lake of fire and brimstone. A burning massive, like a big body of water, but just flames burning, hot flames, a lake of fire and brimstone. To be forever tormented by horrible demons, to have ever comfort removed, to have no rest day nor night, to be totally alone and banished by all, to live in perpetual burning thirst, unable to have a drop of water, wondering, looking in vain for a way out. Living with utter despair and misery, and remembering the day of grace you spurn while alive on earth. And as you look ahead for thousands and thousands of years to come, all there is to see is more of the unending torments and agonies that stretch on forever and ever and ever. That's hellfire. That's damnation. That's eternal damnation. What a horrible place to be. To be there in this burning lake of fire. To have no hope ever of getting out. And thinking ahead of thousands of years to come with more unending torments forever and ever. You know, the horrible thing is this is real. This is not just fear. This is not just drama. This is real. This is realities that many, many, many people will experience in this forever, eternal, boundless time of on and on, writhing in the torments of hellfire. Many will be surprised as they wake up and open their eyes in the flames of hellfire. And so this morning I want to ask you, how will you, my friend, escape the damnation of hell? How will you escape the damnation of the wrath of God and hellfire? How will you escape? 1 Peter 4:18 says, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" If the righteous, almost as it were, just squeak by and barely make it, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? And I believe that we don't think too much of the holiness of God and the awful wrath of God and the seriousness of judgment and hellfire. It's my desire to stir us to the reality that these things are real and that we must make our calling and election sure. The wrath of God is an awful thing, and to be damned and lost forever is a horrible, horrible, shuddering thought to think about. So my last point is I want to think together of the closeness of eternity. How close is eternity? How close is it for you? Is it far, far away? You know, a distant fall that you hardly ever think about? How close is eternity? At the least, it's not far away for every one of us. And for some of us, it's very, very near. Amen? It is. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life?" What is your life? What is it? "It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away." The same as a cup of coffee in the morning when it's cool outside, you go outside. That vapor ascends off of there. And after about probably 4 inches or so of going and being, you know, visible, it's what? It vanishes away. It's gone. It's no more. You know, there's no trace of it anywhere around. It's all just vanished and disappears. You know, that is your life. It is not like a vapor. It is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it just, it's gone. Forever gone. All you have is a gravestone to tell the world that you never existed. You're disappeared. You're gone. That's your life. That's my life. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away." That's your life. You know, even the best of us, even the most strong of us, we're like grass. Appear for a little while, then you're just harvested off, taken to the barn, fed to the cows. It's gone. That's humanity. Even the best and the most strong, the most vigorous of us is like grass. It appears and then it's gone. Our lives are very fleeting. Days pass so fast. Weeks go by so rapidly. Months and years just fly by. Our lives are very, very, very short. You know, and I see young people who pass away at young ages. I had a cousin. His name was Leon. And at 17 years of age, 17 years old, he, on Sunday afternoon, went to the mountains to go mountain biking. They had, I believe it was 3 vehicles. He had his Blazer, and his friends had their vehicles, and they were all packed in there. And they had the last stop to get the last person for the big, you know, the big grand bike ride. And they were leaving the driveway, and Leon was on the road, and his friend was just in a very lighthearted, giddy mood, and so he was just goofing off and started to pass him up and got he in the left lane and began to crowd him off the road just playing. But Leon lost control, went off the edge, and then overcorrected. Bad move, overcorrected. I think he smashed it into a telephone pole, rolled the vehicle, and he was thrown out. He wasn't buckled up. Thrown out, and there's a hole in the windshield where it appears that he went through the windshield as he exited the vehicle and went flying over the road into a cornfield and crashed and broke his neck. And it was over. At 17 years old, a fine young man, very capable, very strong, a very clever fellow. But at 17 years old, his life came to an end. You know, for him, eternity came very, very, very suddenly. And that can happen to you and I. Our lives are very, very short. You know, the friend, actually a young man back home, I think he was 16, I think it was last month, he left home in utter rebellion. Just a hard rebel. Got his bicycle, was biking down the road, leaving home, going, you know, having a good life. He was going up this hill, and then this old man in his vehicle came along and didn't see him. All of a sudden, crash. He hit him on the bicycle. Actually, he was pushing his bike up the hill. He hit him. And he was taken to the hospital. And about 3 days later, he at the hospital breathed his last and died in rebellion. Horrible. It devastated the family. It was a horrible funeral. The grief and the sorrow was just incredible. You know, our lives are very, very fragile. Death can come at any time. Psalms 39, verse 4 is a tremendous prayer. "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, that I may know it." I'm sorry. "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is and how frail I am." That's a tremendous prayer for you as a young youth today. In your prime and your strength and vigor. Say, "Lord, make me to know mine end. My end and what and the measure of my days and what it is that I may know how frail I am." And here is a song that I want to quote to you or read to you here in the hymn book. It's a tremendous prayer on the closeness of eternity and the brevity of our lives. It's 725. I'll just read it to you here. "Almighty Maker of my frame, Teach me the measure of my days. Teach me to know how frail I am and spend the remnant to thy praise. This is a prayer. And make this your prayer this morning. My days are shorter than a span. A little point, my life appears. How frail at best is dying man. How vain are all his hopes and fears. Vain his ambition, noise and show. Vain are the cares which rack his mind. He heaps up treasures mixed with woe and dies and leaves them all behind. Oh, be a noble portion mine. My God, I bow before that throne. Earth's fleeting pleasures I resign and fix my hopes on thee alone. See, that's a young man or a man there, a person, I should say, there, who realized that life is short. Eternity is coming. And how can I maximize my days to the glory and praise of God? So in closing here, let's bring eternity very near to our hearts and minds. Let's make eternity close and real to us. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but that which is unseen." May that be how you live your life. May that be how you do your career and how you operate your business and how you live your life. I don't look at the seen things. This temporal around me, this physical, I don't see that. I see eternal realities. I see the day of judgment. I see God's kingdom. I see the souls of men, and I'm engaged in eternal things that will last forever. Bring eternity very near and live your life in the realities of eternity. Second of all, let's come to grips with the brevity of our life. Let's turn our hearts Godward, away from the empty vanities around us. And for us youth, that's my burden for you, is turn your heart Godward. Maximize your years in your life for the glory and praise of God. Away from the trucks, the cars, the fashions, the fads around us, all the empty hobbies and empty pursuits, and make eternity very real, and live a Godward, dedicated, consecrated life to the Lord Jesus. Let's live with devotion, giving God our all, giving God your utmost, giving God your strength, and all that you can give. Live a life of devotion to Him in light of eternity. And for those of you who are unconverted this morning, get serious. Eternity is coming. Get serious. Wake up to the reality and don't be lulled asleep by the world and by the devil's charm to you. You have reason to fear and tremble and awake to the realities and get serious. Deal with your sin and get thoroughly right with God. Get thoroughly, not as a halfway right with God, get thoroughly right with God. And my question to you is, how will you escape the damnation of hell? If you die in your sin, you will stand before the holy God and face the awful wrath that's due us for sin. And that's nothing to play games with. Let me give you a poem here I love very much. It speaks about eternity, and it's a powerful poem here. 298 in this book here, or 6. It's called Eternity. I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. And strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear. Oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in His glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. Oh, eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat. and thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time who had laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. O eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. Let us work while this day, brother, sister, for soon shall the Master appear. To garner the wheat that we harvest, the chaff in his fury to burn. Then in haste, let us rush to the rescue, for few can be saved at the most. For millions shall be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. O eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. It's coming for us all. How real is it to you? And how will it be for your soul in eternity? Let's live our lives with purpose, brothers and sisters. Let's have purpose-filled lives. Not aimlessly going through life. No, day after day, the same routine, the same old things you do every day, working, working, working. But let's have lives that are filled with purpose. There's eternity coming for every one of us. Let's rethink our priorities. Let's make our lives count for eternal worth. And lastly, let's all enter eternity with joy. May God give us grace that when you draw your last breath, that you can be one who enters eternity with joy. No regrets, but a confidence and peace that I'm going to be with Jesus. Enter eternity with joy. May God bless us and give us His grace.